where we are, Gospel of Mark, chapter number 4, again this morning. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 4, again reading in verse number 1. And when you have it this morning, why don't you stand with us for the reading of the Word of God today? You here with us this morning, Mark's Gospel, chapter number 4. And where we're looking today, beginning verse number 1. The Bible says these words, "Again, he began to teach by the sea. A very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and he sat in it on the sea. Whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. He was teaching them many things and parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, 'Listen. Behold, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. When the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns. Thorns grew up and choked it, and yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. They said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables, and he said to them, 'To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, and may indeed hear but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven.' And he said to them, 'Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word, and these are the ones along the path. For the word is sown, when they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. They have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then, when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated this morning. We don't know if in their Thanksgiving dinner this week, if you will have someone around your table that will try their best, whether you want them to or not, to entertain you with all of their stories. They got lots of stories to tell, and like I said, whether or not you want to hear them, they're going to share them. It's going to be your job to quietly get away from them as quickly as possible in your life. You're stuck listening to their stories. Whatever it is, we as humans are people of story. We like stories. Stories does a great thing for us. One of the best things, obviously, that you can do for your children. Perhaps part of the reason why we children are in a different place than they were is that we are no longer reading stories to them. Instead, shoving an iPad or a phone in front of their face and letting them entertain themselves. Children need to hear stories. They need to have stories read to them. Probably one of the most important things you can do, again, is tell them stories and read stories to them. Our whole history of humanity has always been a story. And this is no different in Jesus' teaching. It's no wonder that Jesus taught mainly through these stories that we call parables. Over and over again, Jesus is telling this parable that is giving us this story of what the kingdom of God is like, of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. But of course, really, when you look at that word parable in its Greek translation, you realize a parable is more than just a story. Sometimes it's a comparison. It's a proverb. Maybe it's an allegory, a fable, a riddle, an oracle. Wisdom saying, whatever it is, this word parable is used over and over again. And Jesus often taught us, or often taught his disciples, I should say, under this term parable, these stories that he would give, these different sayings he would give to illustrate to us divine truth. And so it's no wonder in this chapter, we really see, at least through the first several verses, verse 34, several different stories that Jesus tells us. Now Mark, of all the Gospels, I should say, actually gives us the least amount of Jesus' teaching. It's not surprising. Obviously, Mark is the shortest Gospel. But really, when you read the book of Mark, you often see actions that are taking place. And that's why I said way back in chapter 1, you see where Mark likes to use this word immediately, over and over and over again. Immediately, Jesus does this. Immediately, something happens. He's a guy that is full of action in his book. Things get done in the Gospel of Mark, and yet still he takes time to give us, especially in this chapter, some of Jesus' teachings. And he's stubborn, and he gives them to us again in the disguise of a parable, of a story. If you would have been in the middle of this story, we notice that there are three or four verses where Jesus is not telling a story, but rather is giving us some rather surprising statements. Some shocking statements, if you would. First one found, verse 13. We'll look at these in reverse order. But he says to them, in verse 13, Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all of the parables?" In other words, Jesus seems to be saying here that the key to understanding any of his teachings, any of his parables, is first of all to understand this parable of these four soils. And this makes sense, right? Because what we see is that these soils are likened to the heart. And if the heart is not cultivated, if the heart is not right before God, if the heart is not in a place where it can receive the Word of God, how then can they understand any other parable? Jesus is highlighting here the reality that these disciples needed to face. Their lack of understanding this parable, the parable of the four soils, the disciples were showing how hardened their heart was towards God. But inherent in this statement is a reality not just the disciples need to face, but all of us need to face. Charles Granville was a British theologian who wrote a commentary on Mark, and he said these words. He said, "The blindness of men is so universal that even the disciples are not exempt from it." Again, we often look at their lives and we say, if anybody has something with God, it's certainly these 12 disciples, certainly it's the people in the Bible. But I like what Jim shared with us. Even then, even they struggled with a real understanding of who God was and what he was really trying to teach. This is the reality of a person without God. Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, we are dead in our trespasses and sin. We are totally incapable of any kind of spiritual life whatsoever on your own without God. There is no way you can truly comprehend, understand what it is that Jesus wants to teach us. So this first shocking statement again, if we don't understand the condition of the human heart, if we don't even understand where our own heart is before God, we will not be able to understand any of the teachings of Jesus. But again, a second shocking statement. Maybe I should have thought about that. I wrote it. It sounded a lot easier than I forget it. And say that a second shocking statement found here in verses 10 through 12. Jesus says, and when he was alone, those around him, the 12, asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables. So that, verse 12, they may indeed see, not perceive. Let me indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. So what is this shocking statement, this surprise statement, if you would? This statement is this: God has given the disciples the ability to understand and hear the Word of God. But others haven't. Others don't understand, and the reason they don't understand is because their hearts have not responded to God in faith. Jesus here in this statement is quoting from the prophet Isaiah chapter 6, verse 9, and God says these words, and he said, go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand, keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their eyes and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed. But Jesus again is saying to us is this: if you have the faith to hear and receive the Word of God, you can understand it. But if not, everything is in parables. Everything is a mystery. Everything is something we don't understand. And the reason we don't understand is because our hearts are not cultivated to receive and to hear what God is saying to us by faith. You've probably done what I do. A lot of times you're taking your car in for a repair, taking your computer in for repair, you're taking something in because it's not working properly, and the technician looks at them and looks at you and he starts saying, well, this is a problem, and this is wrong, and this is not connecting right, and this, and you're looking at him like I do, my eyes just glaze over. I'm like, what did you just say to me? And then they get to the simple understanding, I can fix it, it's going to cost you this much money. And then your eyes really glaze over, and you're like, how in the world? But then you realize that if I can't even understand what he's saying to him, then you pull out your credit card, your checkbook, and there you go. You see, the point of the verse is this: if we do not have the Holy Spirit in our life, the working of the Spirit of God inside of us, with faith to receive what God is trying to say to us, we will never, never truly comprehend the Word of God. We'll never truly comprehend what God is doing, and it will never produce the life change that we need. And for far too many people, including you, if you are here this morning, we're missing what God wants to do in our lives because we are not truly receiving what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Our hearts are hardened, our hearts are dull, our hearts are filled with everything else. And therefore, when God tries to plant His seed into our lives, we miss it. We miss it, and thus we find ourselves as one of these first three soils ineffective in God and His Word changing our lives. So let's look at this story here. Verse 3, Jesus tells us, listen, behold a sower. A sower goes out to sow. Now, this is pretty easy to understand. A man is walking around, and he has a big bag of seed, throwing it out. Verse 14, Jesus tells us the sower is sowing the Word of God. The sower is sowing, it is the Word of God that is being spread. It's not apple seeds, it's not grape seeds, it's not corn, it's not carrots, it's whatever else. This is the Word of God that is going out and is being sown out into the world. Matthew, His Gospel, chapter 13, verse 37, Jesus says, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to tell the world there is hope for us. He came to tell the world there is hope for humanity. And every time Christ is proclaimed, every time Christ is exalted, every time the Word of God is shared and people are pointed to the cross, God is sowing His seed throughout this world. Of course, Jesus goes on in verse 4 as He sowed some seed. Some seed fell along the path and the birds came and devoured it. Again, not a concrete sidewalk like we would think of, but rather a patch of dirt that has been trampled on by so many feet that it's compressed to the point that the seed has no ability to penetrate. The seed simply sits on top of the compacted soil, and the enemy sees it, and immediately it comes and destroys the Word of God that has been sown. Some of you have complained over the time you sent out a bird's nest, and you go out there in the morning and you see a stupid squirrel on there eating all the bird seed. Some of you have had even worse. Sorry, not a stupid squirrel, I mean, all squirrels are gifts of God. Except for the ones that run in front of the car, and then they stop and go back the other way, and then they stop and go this way, and scare you to death because you don't want to hit them. Some of you have had it even worse. You've not had squirrels, you've had black bears showing up, taking that seed. It's like, come on, man, you're 400 pounds, go find your own food. Leave the little birdies alone. Jesus tells us, verse 18, these are the ones along the path. The Word of God is sown. And when they hear, Satan immediately comes and he takes away the word that is sown in them. See this over and over again. People come to church. They go to a crusade. They go to a Christian concert, whatever it is, and they walk out and it doesn't affect them at all. You witness to someone and they say, hey, you need to know about Jesus. And they look at you and say, I'm not interested. Tell them Jesus died for their sin and there is no reaction whatsoever. Seed fails to penetrate the heart in any way. But then it's not just the one whose heart is like this hardened pan. Verses 5 and 6. Jesus says, other seed fell on rocky ground and did not have much soil. Immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. When the sun rose, it was scorched. Since it had no root, it withered away again. Reaction of immediately something seeming to grow overnight. Mary and I, before we moved out here, we decided one year we were going to plant a garden. And we were trying our best. I mean, I don't have a green thumb, I have a black thumb, a kiss of death, or whatever it is. But it didn't seem like anything was happening. We kind of gave up on our garden because we were going to Colorado for a vacation, and so we went. And then we come back home, and wow, we're all surprised. A week later, here we are, we've got stuff growing. Shock, maybe I just need to get away from it. I don't know what the case was. But this is not the case where the seed is germinating and growing at the proper time. Seed immediately seems to spring up. They used to go to a youth camp outside of St. Louis, Missouri every year, and it seemed like every single year, they would give invitations. Do you want to give your heart to Jesus? And some of the kids that went to camp with, they would give their heart to Jesus every single year. Every year they would seemingly get saved. Every year they'd go to camp and hear the message, and the hand was the first one in the air. And it probably lasted again all about 2 or 3 weeks. And they would fall away from God. Verse 16, Jesus gives us the interpretation. These are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, they receive it with joy. But they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while, then immediately with tribulation. Persecution arises on account of the word. Immediately, they fall away. See, this word fall away is a Greek word, scandalizomai. The word scandalon, of course, which we get the word scandal from, it refers to a stick that is placed in a trap. When that stick is touched by the animal, it springs the trap. Point is made clear by Jesus. Once trial or tribulation comes, the willingness to stick with Jesus is a lot harder to come by. Can I tell you this morning, I've said it before, the call to Jesus is not always a call to live your best life, a call to be happy and healthy and rich and powerful. In fact, when Jesus told his disciples about following him, he said, if you will follow me, you must take up your cross. Not the shiny gold cross that you wear around your neck. But Jesus is saying, you must come and be willing to give your life. To give your life for him. The call to follow Jesus is actually a call to come and die. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a man who was part of the resistance in Germany against Adolf Hitler, a German Lutheran pastor who opposed Hitler. Was summarily executed because of his opposition to Adolf Hitler. In the Nazi regime, he wrote these words. He said, the cross is laid on every Christian. The first Christ suffering which every man must experience is the call to abandon the attachments of this world. It is that dying of the old man which is a result of his encounter with Christ. And as we embark upon discipleship, we surrender ourselves to Christ in union with his death. We give over our lives to death. Thus it begins. The cross is not the terrible end to an otherwise God-fearing and happy life, but it meets us at the beginning with our communion with Christ. When Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. It may be a death like the first disciples that had to leave home and work to follow him, or it may be a death like Luther's. Bernard Martin Luther had to leave the monastery and go out to the world. But it is the same death every time. Death in Jesus Christ, the death to the old man at the call of God. You see, and this is where lot of us find resistance. Trouble comes, tribulation comes, trial comes. And all of a sudden there's fruit that has sprung up, has seemed to grow so quickly. It's gone out of our lives. And then we have this third soil. Probably the soil that far too many of us struggle with. It's not the soil that the Word of God never penetrates our heart. It's not this idea that trouble and persecution comes and it takes us away from God. But verse 7, Jesus says, other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no grain. Then the interpretation, verse 18, others, the ones sown among thorns, they are those who hear the word. The cares of life, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. This, I dare say, is the soil that most of us find ourselves struggling with, don't we? It's not that our hearts are hardened. It's not that we've really experienced persecution, especially in this country. But it's simply the cares of life, the struggle to make it through day by day. And it's something that all of us wrestle with. I wrestle with it myself. I was down the other day on Freemansburg Avenue. Stopped by the shop right down there. $6 for a pound of hamburger. It's like, what in the world? Trust me, we're having hamburgers today without the hamburger. It's like cheese and lettuce and tomato. It's like, good little world, how in the world is this? It's so expensive there. Every once in a while, I'll see an ad on Facebook or somewhere else, and it's $1,500 for a 400 square foot apartment. There's a bathroom out back called a tree, and you get a shovel and a hammer. It's no wonder that politicians are jumping on this word affordability. Of course, you want to scream at them, it's your fault that it's not affordable.
Amen.
Of course, not just that. Amazon has already started their Black Friday sales, Prime Week sales, got to get our stuff. Need a new shiny widget imported from China. I'm already seeing the ads that I'm a terrible husband unless there's a new car in my driveway or a fancy diamond ring. Guess what? I'm going to be a terrible husband this year. Maybe I'll be sleeping here tonight. I don't know. What am I saying? These things all come into our life, don't they? Pretty soon, the things of God become less and less important. Priority of gathering weekly to worship Him is not as important as it should be. The need to teach our children to read the Bible to them, again, to share with them, becomes less and less important because, again, we have to go from school to swimming, to dance, to cheer, to basketball, to whatever else. And pretty soon, the Word of God is being choked away. Again, in words of another commentary, these followers of Jesus allowed secular values to undermine their loyalty to Jesus and to the kingdom of God, with the result that they are unfruitful. It's not that we do this on purpose. I mean, we probably get into our car and we're listening to Word FM and we're listening to gospel music and whatever else, but still, we're allowing the things of this world to come in. Choke out the Word of God. Finally, this fourth soil is where we want to be. Verse 8, other seeds fell. It fell into good soil, they're the ones who hear the Word of God. produces grain, grows up and it increases and yields 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, verse 20. But these that were sown on the good soil are the ones that hear the word of God and accept it and they bear fruits. 30-fold and 60-fold, 100-fold. The guess is this is where you want to be, I hope. At least the reason you came this morning is because you find yourself, Lord, this is where I want to be. I want to be in a place where, God, you are doing a work in my life. Or, God, you are changing me. Where my life matters for God and things are happening in my life. But if we were to be honest again, most of us struggle. How has this happened? What can I do to ensure that my heart is soft and ready to receive what God has for me? And certainly there are things that we can do. Making it a priority again before we get on our phone that we read our Bible in the morning. Taking our schedule and making sure that nothing interrupts. And nothing else is going to be here on a Sunday morning between 8 and noon. Except going to church, hearing the word of God, prioritizing these things over other things in our life. But this is where I want to go back to what I said at the beginning. And that is this. We can't do this on our own. We can't change on our own. We are incapable of comprehending the word of God. We are incapable of understanding the truth of what God wants to say on our own. Paul said it this way, the natural person does not accept the things of the Spirit of God. This 1 Corinthians 2 verse 14, they are folly to him. He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discern. You see, even though we may not be able to understand that on our own, the truth is the Spirit of God is what can come into our lives, bring up the hard, fallow ground of our heart. He is the one that can transform us. He is the one that can make us capable. He is the one that can help us to root out these thorns and to root out this rocky soil and to break up this hard-hearted soil of my heart. If you're here this morning and you feel like your life is not progressing in God the way it should be, I give you hope this morning. There is hope for you. Lift up your heart and your voice to God and say, would you come into my life? Would you penetrate into my heart? Would you come and change me and make me who you want me to be? And if you will offer that prayer and faith to him, I can guarantee you God will come and change you and make you into the person that you want to be. Now, it may not be again that tomorrow that your life is completely different. It will be this. Little by little, God will bring about that change, and you will be conformed into his image, and you will become the one that bears good fruit for him. And the question is this morning, will you allow him to? Will you allow God to do that in your life? Alistair Begg, when he wrote about this parable, he said these words, make no mistake. The hearing of God's word in and of itself will do nothing until he enables us to accept it, to bow down under it, and to believe it. But when God's word is received in humility, it makes a lasting impact. This person prospers in triumph. This person holds up his thorns. And this person endures to the end. You see the point again? Go back there to verse 10, 11, and 12. Jesus is saying, you can share the word of God, but until God brings the change in your heart, it will have no impact. But can I tell you today, if you have a desire in your heart, the Spirit of God will put that desire in you. And if you're here today, and maybe you're thinking, I want to be that person that's effective. I want to be that person that sees real and lasting fruit. That's God doing that work in your life, putting that Spirit in you. If you will pray that prayer, God will bring about in His time, bring about that fruit that bears to life, it makes real lasting change, makes you the person that He wants you to be. And so, I ask you this question this morning, what kind of soil is your heart? Maybe you're here and you're thinking, I'm glad he's done it. I want to get out of here. I hate this place. Don't raise your hand, please. I didn't feel bad. But that's you. All I can do is pray that God will soften that heart. Maybe you're here and you say, I want to leave. I want to really be a person God wants me to be. But I know what's going to happen. My friends, my family is going to hate me. You know what? There's hope for you. God can plant His word in your heart so deep if you allow Him to. Maybe you're here and you say, I really want to be that person. Man, I've got so much going on in my life right now. Again, if you really want God to make you that person that's fruitful for Him, He can do it. If you will allow Him to. Pray this morning that your heart is soft and tender, that you allow Him to work and bring about the change that He wants to for those who call out to Him. And then let's pray this morning, shall we? Lord, search my heart and my life, I ask. Lord, help each and every one of us, I pray, to be willing to look into the depths of our life, to realize what we have allowed stuff to come in, separate us from you. Lord, whatever it is that is choking out the working of your Spirit, the working of your word, may it come. May it be swept away. May it be dug out with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, may we only have a soft, good soil that is bearing good fruit for you, we pray. And I want to challenge you this morning. First of all, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you're here thinking I need to give my life to Christ, it's God digging and working on your heart. Don't refuse it. Don't allow it to walk away. Walk away and let your heart become a little bit harder. Because eventually it'll be too hard. God won't be able to penetrate the way He needs to. If you're here though and you've allowed, again, these cares of life, these troubles and tribulations to just drown out what He's doing in your life, this morning God is wanting to break them up. bring you back to that place.
Allow him to do it, I pray.
And Lord, do this in our hearts and in our lives, we ask. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyway, let's stand. Let's close with a song of worship here as we finish our time on this morning. Thank you so much for coming today.